Very fucking unprofessional.
I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green carpet. All this trauma, these hoes, deals that made me heartless. Had a dream about you and I, girl, you should've saw it.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
I'm watching you call. I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green carpet. All this trauma, these hoes, deals that made me heartless.
I know.
Dream about you and I, girl, you should've saw it. It's a room full
you
of
bad
bitches, I'm watching you call. I wake you up to some breakfast, then you go right to the mall. I got this ice for you, baby, so we can cover your flaws. I remember times it got rough for me, you was thugging and all. I know you say that you love me, babe, but loyalty's law. It's gonna be hate shit, you fucking a boss, you stunning and all. I bought you things so you can go flex, she's showing it off. Pay the maid to fix up your place, they mowing the lawn. I'm copping rollies, letting them sit, I need a new arm. We speeding through cars, your friends rapping, singing along. Let's get them involved. I took some time away from my dog, he thinking too small. I lead the team, a PG, a guard, I bring up the ball. I went about take a grin on these boys like fuck the go yard.
Shout out everybody driving to work right now, get your business taken care of.
Thought it was love, it started getting weird, it fucked with my heart.
Shout out all the common law wives out there, you know what I mean? Go hit you some Kegels and make that shit legal, baby. Either that or just get rid of that bum ass motherfucker you with.
I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green carpet. All this trauma, these hoes, deals that made me honest.
It's your day off today, you know what I mean? Whatever your vice is, live your life, shit. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host, Ruck. This is Sports Show, episode 18. Yeah, pardon me for talking shit. I'm trying to get my energy out, man. I've been real slumpish lately. Can't even front, man, as far as, you know, just getting the motivation to come out and get to it. Thank God the wife, he sat back down. We did another Married as Fuck episode. Held people over for a minute. But now, you know, it's time to get back into the swing of things. Sports is going crazy for a lot of different reasons. You know what I mean? First and foremost, I want to dedicate this show to the legendary man by the name of Chris Mortensen, ESPN family, NFL journalist, someone that was on our TV screens more often than not. Throughout my entire life, I could just remember Mort as his colleagues and friends and family had allowed us to call him over his time. He had passed this past Sunday, the age of 72 years old. So before we go any further, definitely want to dedicate this show to Mort, Chris Mortensen, and send love out to his family, friends, and loved ones. Now, as much as you may feel a certain type of way about this individual, when it comes to the sport of basketball for the past 21 years, there's been a name that's been synonymous with the league in a way like, you know, it hasn't been in far some time. I'm not going to go through the trouble of, you know, mentioning the other individuals that this guy's usually linked with, at least not right now. Right now is the time to celebrate. First ever to do it, LeBron James.
A lot of the fans standing up. They have their camera phones ready to take a shot of this. James against Porter, drive, spins, gets inside. It's good. It's 40,000 for LeBron James, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, with another milestone as the legend of LeBron continues to grow. And here's the standing ovation for LeBron James as he goes to the bench.
And LeBron James, first one ever to 40,000 points, someone who has pushed this game forward over and over, not just his impact on the game, but the league, the organizations he's played for, his teammates, and the next generation.
Definitely congratulations in order for the man, LeBron James, man. 21 years of dominance in this league, regardless of how you feel about the guy. On Saturday evening against the defending champion Denver Nuggets, he became the only player in NBA history with 40,000 points. Again, you know, got to clap it up for the man. regardless of how you feel, like I continue to say, you got to understand this guy's continuing to make history not only on but off the court as well. To me, I think a lot of the things that he does off the court will forever cement him, at least from my point of view, as, you know, what sticks out to me is in his legacy. Now, not going to get into the GOAT debate. What I will say is as his career continues to go further and move along, it's getting a lot harder to completely dismiss him as far as the GOAT conversation is concerned. Y'all need to hear me out. Anytime these type of discussions are had, you get very demonstrative arguments from both sides. And to me, I think this should be a three-sided debate. We're talking Kobe. We're talking, of course, Michael Jordan. And then talking LeBron James. Now, unfortunately, just based off what he's been able to do, escaping injury for the most part throughout his career, where Kobe has been plagued from time to time, his achievements, and you know, maybe Kobe had running mates that ate up some of those stats, you know, i.e. Kobe and even a Pau Gasol later on in his career. But when you think about LeBron James, what he's been able to do, how he's been able to kind of combat Father Time, which is undefeated, as we all know, you got to just get up out the way sometimes and give kudos where it needs to be given. The guy's doing his thing. If you ask me, I would say that his finals record is going to be something that's always going to hold an asterisk next to him when people start talking this GOAT debate. I seen a stat line of, you know, through their first however many seasons, what Jordan had done points-wise versus what LeBron had done. And then you think about, you know, Jordan when he ended his career slightly under 32,000 points, I believe. Playing way less years than LeBron did, taking time away, leaving, going to play in minor league baseball, then coming back to the game later. There's forever going to be the what-if question, but right now there's really no debate as far as what this guy has done. The first ever at 40,000 points, 21 years into his career. I find it funny that he was kind of going out of his way or some publication, I don't know where he was speaking at, but when he went of a along the lines of saying that he was undecided on which way he was going to exit from the game. And just to get him, you know, compare what he was talking about or give some kind of backstory and context, there's two different ways to run this kind of exit. There's what we consider the Kobe Bryant farewell tour, where he went around from arena to arena and sold out everybody's building. Everyone made a spectacle of, you know, his last game there, including, of course, his last game at Staples, which we all remember and know, and just a magical performance he put up then. Versus like maybe a Tim Duncan route, where Tim Duncan just, you know, one day decided in the offseason, that's it, hanging it up. There was no, you know, give me my flowers while I'm here. But it's very indicative of who Tim Duncan was versus who Kobe Bryant was. Not to say that any of those, you know, routes taken were right or wrong. It was just the route decided by the certain individual. Now, LeBron, you're not fooling anybody by saying you're undecided. We all know this is going to be one of the most exaggerated, one of the most, flamboyant dismissals from the game ever. I see you going out with way more than the bang. I see a fireworks show every single arena that you go to. I see maybe you even pulling a Brett Favre and, I'm going to leave. I'm back. I'm going to leave. I can see shit like that as well. The Tom Brady effect, whatever it may be. But for you to say that you're thinking about, you know, possibly just hanging it up in the offseason without any announcement, you're not fooling nobody, bro. Come on now. We see the way that you acted. There's a clip going around of a fan that was sitting courtside, him and a friend of his, and they were like, yo, LeBron, you going to cry when you break the scoring record? Nah, man, I ain't going to cry. The scoring record? You know, maybe, you know, win another championship, I'll cry. Fast forward, and he said, I'm going to keep this. Scoring record happens, and what do you see? He's over there, Kim K crying. So, I mean, come on, LeBron. We know better, bro. Who are you trying to fool? You know what I mean? But it's up to you, man. I mean, do your thing. It's your legacy, man, and it's a storied one for sure. I mean, who could take anything away from your game? And we would all have to be haters, right? Now, you might not be everybody's specific cup of tea, and that debate's going to forever live on, but congratulations to you and everything that you've done. Especially now, thinking about it being in this Western Conference, as, you know, as time of taking these notes, Western Conference and Eastern Conference were separated, you know, ranking-wise and seed-wise by very short few amounts of games in the Western Conference. It was highly, you know, a nightly shuffle. He said, yeah, absolutely. So you're talking about a 5th and 10th seeds that were separated by 3.5 games. Now, 5th seed through the 10th seed, and we all know about the play-in now, the playoff tournament play-in, whatever, right? The 7 through 10 seeds are going to compete to see who actually maintains those spots and goes into the 8 seed playoffs. Another way to add games to the season, make more money, and just, you know, another weekend out of the major primetime channels and whatnot. But as you look at it right now, both Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers are in the play-in tournament positions. The Lakers currently 10th place, while the Warriors are now in 9th. At the time I was taking these notes, I was watching that Sunday afternoon basketball, I guess you can call it, 12:30 game. It was the Celtics hosting the Warriors. And for some reason, anytime you get Jaylen Brown around a microphone, he talks about how disgusted they were at losing in the finals to the Warriors, still hold it against them, even though we all know the Warriors team that beat them in that finals versus the Warriors team as constructed right now is completely different. Not taken away from what the Celtics were able to do at halftime, they were up 44 points on this Warriors team. Now, that's crazy as fuck, right? What the feezy? All in all, ended the game 88-140 in favor of the Celtics, who win by a plus 50 margin. It's important to note, man, the Warriors have been playing some of their best ball since the All-Star break. They've been a hot team, 13-3 over their last 16 going into that game. Playing tremendously on the road, just perhaps maybe were gassed at that moment. Going into that Celtics team, that was obviously highly motivated on the fact that they're not letting go of that disdain they have for the Warriors squad, who knocked them out when they were that close. You know, you never know if that door is going to remain open or if it's shutting on you. Right now in the Eastern Conference, it appears that the Celtics are, you know, security at that door. It's going to have to run through Boston from what I'm seeing right now. But still a lot of basketball to be played from both sides, including the Warriors, who've been able to string together a lot of wins. They seem to be on an upswing, and it really doesn't matter how you start the season. It matters how you end, and when you get hot, it should be towards the end of the season. So if that's the case, with Steph Curry on your team, with Draymond, with Klay, and now on those minutes where some Steph Curry rest is needed, you have a Chris Paul, a Jonathan Kuminga who's taking steps forward. I mean, they got a lot of little pieces there that could contribute. Andrew Wiggins has been away from the team for some games now due to personal reasons. Not a timetable on as far as when he's going to return, but you got to think they've been able to do these things without a Wiggins on the court. Chris Paul missed a lot of time with an injury. Gary Payton II is coming back with a vengeance. I love the way to see, you know, his energy not only affect pregame, but just, you know, he's a burst when he comes in and able to make the team follow suit. So it's anybody's game, you know what I mean? There's a lot of basketball to be played. A lot of frustrating-ass basketball, to be honest. Especially when it comes to my Sacramento Kings. These motherfuckers are pissing me off, dog. Now, at the time I was reading this, or, you know, setting this up, they were 7th in the West. I'm sure we've fallen from there, but it's just been unpredictable to say the absolute least. These guys will be up for a game against a team that we shouldn't be able to beat and get a victory, whether we're at home or on the road. And then we face these other teams that have absolutely no business being in the gym with us and find a way to lose. I just don't understand it, man. I mean, we have stretches where we've lost to the Pistons and blow out a much better Denver team the very next game. We've missed free throws that cost us more games than I would like to admit. We let teams stick around and come back by hoisting up threes, whether they're falling or not. It's never a good recipe. You're talking about giving people pretty much a one-sided game. They don't have to play defense because you're going to go up there and, you know, maybe one person touches the ball too, and then, you know, you hoist up a three and nobody's there for the rebound. You're just making it very easy for players to exert their energy on the offensive side where your defense may be lacking rather than beating up a team, pause, but making them work harder on the defensive end that, you know, would remove some of their energy and could perhaps help out the fact that your defense is, you know, sometimes subpar, sometimes you do have a great game. So it just seems like it's a mental thing. When you're talking about free throws being the reason why you're losing games, it's unacceptable. Sabonis has been playing his ass off, but there's only so much he could do. De'Aaron Fox was out for a couple of games with a knee contusion, came back yesterday as we hosted the Chicago Bulls, a team that we had beat throughout the three quarters, even into the fourth, but somehow, some way, found a way to give up the game. It's just unfortunate. Me and the fam went a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, to go see that Heat game. It was on a Monday, you know, we get the whole fam together, go out, watch the game. We're down by fucking 30 at some point. It's my son's birthday. We're like, yo, let's just get out of here before it gets too late to go somewhere and get some good food. Go grab, you know, grab some dinner. As we're walking out, waiting for the kids to go to the bathroom and whatnot, all of a sudden we get the game within 4 or 6 points. I'm like, damn, we hadn't even quite left yet. But then, you know, I'm like, maybe I'm the bad luck with all this negative energy. Let's just get the fuck up out of here, right? End up losing by 10, but you got to, it's important to note, there's no Jimmy Butler, no Tyler Hero. Another reason they contributed to, like, why did, you know, we come here on a Monday, could have sold these tickets, whatever. But always a great time to be out there with the fam, especially on the son's birthday. So let's clap it up for that. As a Kings fan, I mean, looking at last year, what we were able to do, get into the playoffs, break that 16-17-year drought, get back to the playoffs, and of course, you know, we just happened to run into a juggernaut squad in the Warriors that were playing really good in that first round. They get the better of us in a 7-game series, a series that I think we could have shut the door on them in, but just goes back, right? I'm not going to say it's a young team. There's veterans. There's championship actual presence there when you talk about Harrison Barnes. And just not able to gel and make it all go together. Mike Brown, I love the job that you've done as our coach, but I feel like there needs to be extra steps taken. I don't think that free throws should play such a big part in our record when things are so close here in the West. And, you know, there's got to be a defensive mentality and an offensive game plan. I'll say that. In order for us to reach our highest potential. And when we do that, and when we're able to string together, you know, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month of great ball, we'll actually be able to get a gauge on where we sit in this Western Conference or the NBA as a whole. But until we do that, it's looking like another first-round dismissal, and it's unfortunate to say, but got to be honest with y'all. Before we completely leave the NBA, Russell Westbrook, a lot to be said about this guy. Unfortunately, fractured his hand. Had surgery, underwent surgery, I believe, on Monday. They're saying that there's a timetable for him to return. That would be the playoffs. Hopefully, he's able to come back at full strength and contribute on the court. But what he's been able to do recently off the court is amazing and needs to be highlighted. Giving back to his community by providing, I believe, 140-plus affordable housing units. Definitely going to clap that up for the guy, Russell. Someone who definitely wears his heart on his sleeve, goes out and gives his all, as he's done throughout his entire career. I think that he's somebody who's been overlooked and kind of underrated, if that's even a possibility. Somebody who's averaged a triple-double, I believe, like damn near 2 seasons in a row, is just incredible to even think about. Always been really loyal to his squads. If they got him to another place, it was by their choice, not something like where he's trying to push himself out, i.e. a James Harden. I really do hope that this guy is able to come back and operate at a high level. He had been doing some great things coming off of the bench, one of those superstars on that four-headed monster team. When you think about Kawhi, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, the first who was vocal enough to say, hey, coach, put me on the bench. I'll come up off the bench, you know what I mean, for the betterment of the team. Ego set aside. And then was able to come in and contribute, and that whole entire team just gelled better. Now they're up top in the Western Conference, you know, seedings. I believe they're top five. You just got to think about them, man, and give kudos to that guy on court, off court, and hopefully he's able to get back and operate at a high level, like I said. In women's college basketball, there's two ladies who will probably forever be linked together that are operating at a high level, and that's an understatement for damn sure. First and foremost, you know, Caitlin Clark, clapping it up for her. I'm going to keep it going. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, both of these two who are going to be linked together. Last year in the women's championship, you know, matchup, it was the LSU Lady Tigers versus the Iowa basketball team led by Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese and Flage and their squad got the best of them in the championship. Angel Reese recently celebrated her senior night, was accompanied not only by family but fellow LSU legend in the basketball realm of things. Shaquille O'Neal walked her out on her senior night. It was dope to see. Very proud of this young lady continuing to pave the way. You see these memes come out of little girls who are rolling their pant leg up to be like Angel Reese, and you don't usually see that highlighted in the women's game. To see that and see just how she's transcending the hoop world as far as, you know, just women's basketball and just, you know, inspiring people across the board. It's definitely dope to see. Shout out to Shaq for making her night even more special and the love that she received there at LSU. Just very indicative of not only what she means to that organization, but to the game of women's college basketball and basketball as a whole, you know, across the board. Caitlin Clark, on the other hand, although she did not win in that championship game this year, she's out here breaking records, 54-year-old records to be absolutely precise about it. Pete Maravich, Pistol Pete, as known across the basketball world, had a 53-year-long record, scoring record, scoring title in college basketball. 54 years. Now, it's been broken by Caitlin Clark, captain of that Iowa team. This season, she broke that record and is now, obviously, the scoring leader in all of college basketball. Definitely dope to see. These two ladies are impressive and contributing in amazing ways. I can't wait to see them get to the WNBA and see what they contribute there as well. And hopefully a lot of these fans that follow them from this college ball will transcend and continue to follow these two into the women's league. And we can see the WNBA become as important as the NBA is. You know, at least try to bridge that gap or, you know, closing up that gap as much as humanly possible. Got to think about these two ladies and these two future legends in the sport, current living legends, you know, and just clap it up for them as always. Now, from these two who got the eyes on them for all the right reasons, you got to go back to this Clippers organization I was just recently talking about. I guess a couple of teens broke into their new arena that's currently in under construction and had their way with the arena, with the facility. It's insane to see, man, how the lengths the kids will go these days to go quote-unquote viral or the clout chasing. Two teens were seen, well, at least one was. The other one was off camera. I'm not sure if there was a clip where he was shown in it, but there seems to be a young man. Scales a fence. There's a ladder there on the other side. He climbs down the ladder. Somehow gets into the arena. Practice facility, wherever he's at. I don't know. There's some hoops there. A few racks with some basketballs on it. Still so much under construction. It's kind of hard to understand why those would be there. But nonetheless, they are. I want to believe that this isn't staged, but it just looked crazy to me. The kid goes into certain parts of the building. He's putting up shots from fucking distance, to say the absolute least. Draining them, so obviously the kid hoops. But it's just crazy to me. How do you not have this shit secure? How is there not overnight security? Like, if I see some shit like this, it's going to have me going to the Golden 1 Center. You know what I mean? Pulling up on Chase and be like, hey, man, can I just get in and get some burn on this legendary court or this NBA court? Like, what the fuck? I don't know, kids. I would not recommend you do this shit, because if this was something that was staged or used as a publicity ploy, for not only that child and his young, you know, hoop career, but also for that building and just, you know, bringing some more kind of eyes to it as the Clippers look to separate themselves from the Lakers and this whole Crypto.com arena, formerly known as the Staples. They've never really had their own home. It's always seemed like it was the Lakers building and they just played there when they could. I don't know. All I do know is if I have a kid and they're even thinking about doing some shit like this, I'm going to strongly advise them not to. And it's going to be a problem if I find out that they do. I don't know what kind of repercussions are going to come to this young man. I can't assume that, you know, nothing will. He got his face clearly visible in the TikTok video. He's probably got his TikTok handle, you know, added to the video as well, or must, right? So crazy to see. Still a lot to be determined. I would like to see the repercussions to this. And, I never want to see nobody get in no serious trouble, but I think that they run the risk that if something doesn't happen to this young man, there's going to be a whole lot of copycats looking to do the exact same thing, and that could get dangerous. Currently, the NFL Combine is in full swing. New Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce has been the topic of discussion for many. From QB prospect Jaden Daniels to former Raiders staff, including Michael Lombardi, who, you know, a lot of people attribute to part of that experiment, the thing that went on with Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, and just kind of an attempt to make the Raiders look as shit as possible. And that's saying a lot as a Raider fan, just to be 100% honest and, you know, truthful about it. But these guys came in and they did a horrible job, ran out some great talent, made a lot of people feel like they didn't want no parts of this organization. With the NFL, for a lack of better words, being the good old boys club, the old mindset, the old heads way of thinking, you have to know that when Antonio Pierce comes in, there's a change in the guard and the overall cultural switch for a team that's kind of been looked at a certain type of way in the Raiders, whether they were in Oakland, Los Angeles, or now Las Vegas. You have to know there's going to be a lot of heat that comes your way, a lot of hate that comes your way as well. From all people, this is Michael Lombardi who had something to say on why he thinks Antonio Pierce is going to fail as the Raiders head coach via his sit down with the GM shuffle.
When you light a torch and you draft a guy who doesn't even run a 40, you clearly have no idea about the Raider way. Now, we have a presentation for the Daily Coach about grading players. Obviously, the Daily Coach is a leadership website, but we're going to talk about how to hire people, essentially, because grading systems are no different than hiring people. And so if you don't have a prototype of what you're looking for, how the hell can you really scout? Right. You don't have that's why all these mock drafts are comical, because if you don't have a prototype of what the coaches want or what's in your system. See, the Raider way isn't a word. It isn't about this is the prototype of the player we want at this position. This is the prototype of the player we want at that position. That's the Raider way. See, this is what's just so comical. And he's talking about it because he's from Compton. He thinks he knows the Raider way. It's a joke. Like when you.
All right, Doc. Like I was saying, man, the old heads just can't quite grasp the fact that this younger individual has come in with a new way of thinking, a new sense of what he wants his locker room, his organization to be in. And, you know, it's going back to the roots. You see these players who went from looking like they hated their job to where the morale is obviously high. You got people dancing, smiling, laughing, you know, music is playing. I'll just say cigars being lit. Now, what's inside them motherfuckers, I'm not going to speculate on, especially as far as when it comes to Max Crosby. Shout out Mad Max, though. Now, our current roster's bought in. You got people who are coming in on non-mandatory days, setting the tone for just what's to come. Young players, young quarterback prospects, just young players in general. And now, you know, being asked about potentially being drafted to the Raiders. And it's a positive thing for them, where that hasn't always been the case. I just think that these old heads need to get about the way, let Antonio Pierce do what he has to do. And if he fails, he fails. But one thing that you can never ask for somebody who's given that opportunity is to come in and try to emulate what others have done and use that as their legacy or use that as their one opportunity. We know that it's not given to many people. This is a small fraternity of men who are, you know, extended this olive branch to be given opportunities to be a head coach or anywhere in a high office ranking position in the NFL. So when somebody gets there, you got to give them the opportunity to succeed or fail on their own decision-making process. And to say that there's a prototype, yeah, maybe you're talking about the speed that Al Davis was known to draft for. And that hasn't always, you know, transpired. That, you know, hasn't always translated, rather, to victories as other people try to emulate that going down the way. I think one thing that Antonio Pierce has done that no other head coach for us has done in quite some time, I won't say quite some time, I'll just go as far as back, especially as Josh McDaniels, is allow players to make their own bed while they're there. You think about a Marcus Peters who was signed, we didn't kick the tires well enough on that guy. He comes over on one of these, oh, I've always wanted to be a Raider hypes. But you put that uniform on, then you go out there and you look like the last thing you want to do is play football. So why waste any time? If you look like you don't want to be here, then get the fuck up out. Antonio Pierce lets him go, brings in his guy that, you know, a lot of people may have looked at a certain type of way based on their inability to get him to buy in, or maybe they thought he was a head case. But then he comes over to a man that he respects, plays over underneath Antonio Pierce, and makes plays and, you know, completely traumatizes that Chiefs team on that Christmas game, to, you know, put it lightly. I mean, Jack Jones, you know, comes in and making great plays, and that's a guy who a lot of coaches wouldn't have given an opportunity to, but Antonio Pierce knew, had a relationship with, and it translates over to a successful move for the Raiders. And what he was able to do and with this interim label that was placed on him in the past, come into a season that was already under full swing where we had a big hole to dig ourselves up and out of. And just the way that he turned our defense around, for one, obviously you got to give a lot of that to Patrick Graham as well. But there were certain decisions that were made from Antonio Pierce, from, you know, a staff that was finally all on the same page, that allowed for that team to make a turnaround in the way that they did. And I'm excited to see him get a full crack at it. We will see what happens. It's coming back around real soon. March 13th marks the beginning of this actual season. And what I mean by that is when free agency is in full swing, whoever is not franchise tagged and can become a free agent will be able to be spoken to without a tampering situation looming over their head come March 13th. We're, you know, Wednesday is the 6th, so we're about a week and a day away from seeing how everything pans out, and I'm fully excited to see the new tenure as head coach, official head coach for Antonio Pierce and this staff that he's put together. Looking forward to it. Now, a full stab at it might mean more games in the near future. Rumors are swirling that they're going to try to expand this season to an 18-game full regular season, which will mean 19 weeks with a bye. This is up from the 17 that was decided on in 2021. So March of 2021, the collective bargaining agreement agrees to another game, extending the season one more week, adding, you know, a 17th actual game. Now, just 3 years later, going in, you know, closing in on 3 years, they're talking about adding an 18th game. Now, selfishly as a fan, I'm sure that we would all, you know, take as many games as they would offer. But when you think about a sport that's like football rather than a baseball where you could play that many games, it's not as much full contact, if contact at all, versus a basketball where, of course, they play 82 games now, but, you know, with travel and everything, it's got to take a toll, but it's a slightly different game as well. Contact isn't on every single play. This type of sport, I'd be interested to see what the actual players are thinking. Now, more games means more money. They've already upped the salary cap by, I believe, $23, $25 million this year, which is going to leave opportunity for players to be making more money, which I'm sure they're good with. But when you talk about the toll that this sport takes on not only the heart, the body and the mind, but just, you know, the grind of your off season. How did you spend that time? The separation from your family, the travel. Now with games taking place in New York, Mexico, London, Germany as of last season, I would be very interested and curious to see how the actual NFL players think about this, what they think about this rather, and how it's going to, you know, go forward, how they're going to make this a situation where it doesn't feel like they're taking advantage of these players. I mean, are we going to do better with the scheduling, or now, you know, Thursday night games and Monday night games going to, you know, be looked at a little closer as far as when they're going to be back on the field next and travel taken into consideration? Like, if all this is thought about and they move accordingly, then I could see, you know, how a player would be okay with it. But I would definitely be curious to see how some of the stars in this league feel about that rumor that's swirling and if they'd be down for it. Definitely going to have to see. Now, when we talk about players on the move, we're talking about free agency, we're talking about the combine, and now, you know, teams are making these decisions. As of today, it's the last day to place a franchise tag on a player that you want to keep with your team. Some players have been, some players have not. Patriots had informed that they were going to be releasing cornerback J.C. Jackson. This is just 5 months after reacquiring him in a trade from the Chargers after they had let him go before. That says something to me. That's a buyer's beware, in my opinion. If you brought the guy back in because you thought he was going to contribute, then 5 months later after making that move, decide, it's not even worth, you know, trying to find another trade prospect. We're just going to let him go. I would say definitely kick the tires on that extensively before making a decision. But quarterback, you know, cornerback J.C. Jackson, a name that was heard more often than not throughout the recent years in the NFL. So we shall see how he lands, where he lands, and how his play is going forward. Defensive tackle, Leonard Williams, formerly played for the Seattle Seahawks as well as the New York Giants. He's a player that's, you know, thinking about highly potentially rumored to come over to joining Vegas. Might rejoin Raiders where, you know, He's liking social media posts from fans who are doing their best to persuade the move. Williams has ties to defensive coordinator Patrick Graham from their time, both as members of the New York Giants. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Another name that you hear more often than not when you're watching the sports, so I would be very excited to see if Leonard Williams does, in fact, join this Raider squad. There's a lot of talk about Justin Fields. Justin Fields was the person that was rumored to maybe coming over, especially when the offensive coordinator of the Bears was brought in to the Vegas Raiders organization. But he's been rumored everywhere, and the Atlanta Falcons were one of those places as well. However, the Falcons have recently vocalized that they would prefer Kirk Cousins over Justin Fields if both quarterbacks were available, as they are both looking to become free agents on that 13th deadline, like I said, March 13th. Fields also apparently overlooked by Vegas, who many believe will actually trade up to go get a QB. A lot of talk about Jaden Daniels. But there's a lot of quarterback prospects that are going to be coming out of this draft, and if for some reason we were to trade up or somehow getting one of those top, two or three, I can't wait to see what we would do with those picks, and hopefully the right decision is made. Vikings are releasing running back Alexander Mattinson. It seems like the running backs are obsolete in this league. Not that their play isn't important, but when it comes time for contracts, we all know how they get treated. Mattinson, just another of many who is going to become available. The Jets have given Zach Wilson and his agent permission to seek a trade. Now, we all saw that writing on the wall. Zach Wilson, the player that was continuously disrespected by the Jets, and you can say however you want. I think he came into an impossible situation where there was so much anticipation for Aaron Rodgers' era in New York, and Zach Wilson could sit behind him and learn, and see how this guy operates on a week-by-week basis, day-by-day, actually. And then you get Aaron Rodgers who comes in. You got Monday Night Football. He runs in carrying the flag. It looks like, oh, shit, the Jets are going to be a force to be reckoned with. They got Saleh as their head coach. They got a strong defense. They've got players in skill positions on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Then a couple plays into his career as a Jet, Aaron Rodgers goes down for the entire season. Now you have to, throw Zach Wilson back into that fire where a lot of players are going to obviously have a bit of a frown on their face. You're going to have to get them to buy back in. It was an impossible spot for the guy. He lost his job, got it back. They were asking him to come back. He felt disrespected. The writing was on the wall. He's no longer going to be there. Now, is he going to land somewhere on his feet? Is there going to be a team that's going to take a chance at putting him in that starter position? Is he going to now become just a lifelong backup, traveling from team to team as a journeyman looking for work? Still yet to be determined. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are available, not only in this draft, but also in free agency this year. So it's going to be a tough pickings for a guy like Zach Wilson, whose play hasn't always warranted him being looked at in the most favorable of lights. Talk about the running backs. Let's get back to some star running backs who are not expected to be franchise tagged, which includes the following. New York Saquon Barkley. Las Vegas is Josh Jacobs. Tennessee's Derrick Henry, Dallas's Tony Pollard, and Los Angeles' Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Continued disrespect for the running back position in the NFL, and we all talk about how these guys are the only thing that keeps the defense from pinning their ears back and attacking these quarterbacks that y'all covet so highly. Talk about all the money that's thrown to quarterbacks that absolutely underperform. Versus the money that's not given to these running backs who not only pick up blocks on these blitzes, break out and create another receiver for the quarterback who's looking to dump the ball off and save himself a big hit, or just contribute on plays in a way where the quarterback has nothing else to do but sit back, take a little drop, hand the ball off, and move down the field on the back and legs and heart of these running backs who continuously end up getting the shit end of the stick when it comes time to contract talks. So it's been going on for as long as we could think of, so it's nothing new. I guess you must know when you get into the league or when you start your football playing career that if that's where you're going to be at, pretty much what your fate is going forward, you're going to play on that rookie contract. And if you should get so lucky as to garner a contract from a team that wants to keep you around, it's your one big hit. And then after that, franchised, and, you know, left by the wayside. Unfortunately, that's how it looks. You talk about Josh Jacobs, a guy who 2 years ago was the rushing leader in the NFL, couldn't get a contract discussion going with Josh Jacobs and, excuse me, with Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler, and that, entity of Raiders upper management. Antonio Pierce comes in, the guy, you know, does his best to play, you know, his ass off, and everybody wants to be a part of this team now with the changing of guards. I've heard Tom Telesco, the new GM who comes over from Los Angeles, saying that Josh Jacobs is a guy that he wants to keep around, going to do what he can in his power to restructure a deal in a way to keep him here for longer than just a year or two. But we'll see how he actually puts that into effect. I mean, you talk about these other names, i.e. Saquon, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry. There's going to be a lot of people out there that you may be able to get for the cheap. Is Josh Jacobs going to warrant that money? I mean, you didn't do anything with him trade-wise. We shall see, man. It's going to be interesting to see how this shit shakes out. Hopefully, they're not putting everything in the Zamir White basket. Taking nothing away from that young man. Just saying, if this running back is positioned so fickle because you never know when an injury could come. Talking about a guy like Josh Jacobs who's played through injuries, put a team on his back and got wins for us based off his play alone. Kind of a victim, and you know, despite the quarterback play of Derek Carr, got to kind of show this guy some love. Speaking of Derek Carr, he's looking to make history in some crazy-ass ways. Now that he's no longer a member of this Raiders team that drafted him, this season as the Saints and Raiders meet in a regular season matchup, Derek Carr has the opportunity to make history as the first quarterback to ever lose to all 32 organizations. What the feezy? All right, Derek. I mean, I knew what I knew about you after the 2016 season. You got hurt, you came back, and you never were the same. It's easy for a guy to talk about this shit. Watching the games on the couch and whatnot, I can't imagine what you got to deal with actually on the field. But when you have all that talent, when you've possessed all those things that you needed to be a successful quarterback, and you still somehow maintain, you know, in that top shuffle, the upper, you know, half of the quarterbacks in the league, it just seems like it's a mental thing at that point. You go over to New Orleans Saints and there's, you know, star receivers who have run-ins with you and don't have much confidence in you, i.e. a Michael Thomas, who people, regardless of how you feel about him, you got to respect his gameplay. Talks about how Derek Carr left him out to dry, got him injured. Chris Olave, a guy who looked like he was on a crazy upswing, even with a Jameis Winston playing. Now you come in and the guy just seems to disappear off the field. Very indicative of who you are as a leader. I was okay seeing you go. Thank you for all that you did while you were here. There were some wins provided. There were some good moments. But all in all, you were never going to get over that hump. And now you're looking to make history in a way like nobody ever else has. Losing to all 32 teams. Congratulations with that. Which I do see happening, to be honest with you. I don't know if they're going to be looking at you underneath the same scrutiny or maybe microscope that they should, because there's another quarterback right now who's looking even worse. It's crazy to see, but it is what it is, man. Russell Wilson. He's been confirmed to being let go. He will be released on March 13th as that, you know, season goes into effect when you're able to make these moves and make things finalized. Let's talk about this trade. In 2022, the Broncos received a first-round pick in the services of quarterback Russell Wilson. Now, what they gave up to the Seahawks to get this was kind of crazy. A 2022 first-rounder, 2022 second-round, 2022 fifth-round, 2023 first-round, 2023 second-round, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, and Shelby Harris. What the feezy? Now, 2 years later, not only are you releasing this guy, but you're going to take a hit to upwards of $50 million, $40-plus million. Don't quote me on the exact figures. In the cap hit as well. Essentially throwing money away to get this guy off your team. The writing was on the wall when you weren't letting him start the last couple of games of his season last year. Instead opting to let Jarrett Stidham go in and play those games to remove some incentives on the contract that would have gave him some more paper. Or at least tied you in owing him more. So that decision was made mid-season just based off his play alone. Wasn't able to get over the hump or do any of the things that you thought he was going to do. Sean Payton doesn't have much time to sit here and play around. looking to get rid of the guy now who's going to be the starting quarterback over there. Still yet to be determined. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are still up in arms. You can see certain players going that way. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate because I don't even want to give nobody no motherfucking ideas. But Russell Wilson definitely out, and that's a shame, man. A shame for him. Looks like Dolphins defensive tackle Christian Wilkins is not going to be tagged and allowed to become a true unrestricted free agent. Dolphins say they're still mulling options, and others expect Wilkins to hit free agency. Be interesting to see what happens there. Talk about quarterbacks getting let go and money perhaps being left in the hands of the organization. Jimmy Garoppolo's suspension for using PEDs, which I don't think we talked about enough. His guaranteed money of $11.25 million for the 2024 season has now been eliminated, which will likely make it much easier for the Raiders to cut him this season. Hey, all for that. Fuck out of here. As promised, seven-time Pro Bowler and Philadelphia sports icon Jason Kelce announced he's retiring from the NFL. Definitely want to, highlight his story career. The guy did great things. It was rumored that Travis Kelce was also going to retire with him after winning this game, or this last Super Bowl. Definitely wants to stay and try to see if he could three-peat. More power to him, but, Jason Kelce, great career. Wish you the best going forward. I know you got a TV job in the works. You must, man. Just a polarizing person on and off the field. Good luck to you going forward. More free agents, especially at the running back position. On top of the Ecklers, the Barkleys, the Jacobs, the Henrys, and the Pollards of the world, we talk about DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, A.J. Dillon, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards. Running backs are for sale out here, man. Shit is kind of crazy. Receivers may be looked at a little bit differently. Michael Pittman has been franchise tagged by the Indianapolis Colts, who are looking to keep him there as a piece. Guy definitely produced and did great things. Also, expected tag candidates, barring a deal previous to the deadline, Josh Allen of the Jaguars, Brian Burns of the Panthers, Jalen Johnson of the Bears, and Antoine Winfield Jr. of the Bucks. Interesting to see how all these things pan out. I do know we can confirm that Josh Allen, breaking news, defensive end Josh Allen has been placed on the franchise tag, so he will remain with the Jaguars for the foreseeable future. Also, players who are not expected to be tagged and now scheduled to become free agents next week, Christian Wilkins, Saquon Barkley, as we spoke about in nauseam, Michael Onwenu, Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, and Xavier McKinney. Names that stick out there, obviously, Calvin Ridley, but Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield played great this past season. Despite how I continue to not give the guy the credit that was deserved, he did his thing. Got into the playoffs, made his best efforts out there to continue the progress for this Bucs organization. I do see him going back to Tampa Bay. I think that they'd be crazy to let that guy go, but hey, crazier things have happened. Speaking of crazy, there's been a lot of speculation. Let's get into the world of combat sports. Boxing, to be 100%, specific about it. This guy, Brian Garcia. Now, look, we all know that certain people used to speak very highly of Ryan Garcia on this pod for, hey, I know that guy reasons, everything's for the look. But look at this. Fans are expressing concern over Ryan Garcia's recent post on his, IG. I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. Share the story. We got him, boys. Ryan Garcia, RIP, bitch. And, some numbers, three numbers put together that I ain't going to say on this motherfucker, but. And I guess it was whatever. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but he said, "We told you we're coming." And a bunch of just, it looks like somebody was like a cat was stepping across the keyboard and all these little letters and numbers and things being thrown in. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but it's underneath his IG caption, "The death of Ryan Garcia," after Haney had been saying certain things about this guy in the public, trying to, amp up the bias for this fight that is supposed to be underway soon. Right. I believe, I don't know if it's March or whatnot, but a lot of different things were going on. People started taking the question, is this guy okay? Should he be fighting? Is something wrong with his head? We know he's called out people in the past, that he worked with as far as Oscar De La Hoya, Bernard Hopkins, who a lot of people have a lot of things to say, so that couldn't, wouldn't be what would be cause for concern, but it was at least enough cause for concern for him to be taken to a psychiatric ward. Doctors have since released him, and the Devin Haney fight is still on. A lot of people in the boxing world are saying this guy should be saved from himself. But, hey, you know, you reap what you sow. You want to get into that ring and you know, go up against a guy like Haney. We'll see how that night goes for you. Hopefully better than the IG post that you've been doing recently. But if you're in any way linked to the aforementioned individual, then you're guaranteed, you know what I mean, a few losses down the road, man. What the feezy? That's all I'll say about that. I'm going to leave it at that. Told you I've been needing to get my energy up, right? And unfortunately, sometimes it's the negative energy that comes out the most. I'll get that fixed, I promise you. Ending on some good news, though. Braylon Edwards, former star wide receiver, pro bowler, has allegedly, you know, been attributed to the reason why assault of an 80-year-old man was stopped. Apparently, a man has been charged with attempted murder in a locker room attack at a suburban Detroit YMCA that was broken up by former NFL player Braylon Edwards. Police Chief Jeff King didn't mention Edwards by name, but said a good Samaritan stopped the vicious assault. At the end of the day, that's what you do, Edwards said on his decision to get involved. That's not what everybody does, excuse me. There's a lot of cowards in this world, and especially the man who was attacking an 80-year-old at a YMCA. Very glad that you were there in that moment and placed in this scenario to be a vessel for good. And very excited to use your story as a good news segment on the way to, you know, end this sports show number 18. Definitely going to be getting more active, man. I let the music get in the way, and then, you know, not in the way. It's been a part of the progression, but on top of that, you know, just a lot of different things going on inside, you know, the power world, inside the world of, you know, 9-to-5 work, family life as well. Important to note, my son is back at, you know, playing basketball for his school. They had their first game last Friday, 1-0 now. Clap it up for them, 1-0. And today we're going to go see our son play in his first game at home, volleyball game for the Tracy High Bulldogs. Going to go check that out today at 5:30. So excited, man. Can't wait to see the intensity of these games. Like I said, my daughter used to play in the past for Tracy High West High and Tracy, actually. But those games were intense. Now to think about these young boys doing it as well. Can't wait to see the product that's put out there. And it's going to be, you know, more shit to talk about going forward in these sports shows. Can't wait to get back to y'all. Definitely going to be dropping 231, probably tomorrow, to be honest with you. Going to keep this shit in progress and in motion. Once you finally get back to the swing of things, you got to make sure that you build off of that. So, that's the move.
I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green car. All this trauma, these hoes, they made me nervous. Had a dream about you and I, girl, you should've saw it. It's a room full of bad bitches, I'm watching you call. I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green car. All this trauma, these hoes, they made me nervous.
Putting together 231 for you actually right now, as soon as I get off this thing. Be on the lookout for that. Married his fucking full swing. My guy AJ Miles is gonna return. You may remember him from the Adam Element show. He's gonna come sit down, or you know, be a call in on one of these sports shows in the near future. Gonna holler back at the brother Pete, see if he's got time to come cook up another pot. Brother Jake might come sit down, you know what I mean? But you can't expect this ship to continue moving forward. So next time, as always, thank y'all for tapping in. I'ma definitely get back to y'all. But until then, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holler at y'all later.
I'm just watching that money fly. All this time of these hoes did that made me others. Had a dream about you and I, girl, you should've saw it. It's a room full of bad bitches, I'm watching
a professional as fuck podcast.
I'm just watching that money fly, I made a green carpet.